shepherd, the good shepherd, one who leads well, is one who knows that if there is a problem, they begin first by looking and analyzing, where have I failed here? Where have I not lived up to what the good shepherd is calling me to? A good shepherd, we hear in Psalm 23. This is a psalm that if you had to choose one, what psalm do you know? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. In verdant pastures he leads me. He brings me to the streams of living water. It points out, though, in here, and this is what the church fathers throughout the ages have said, what is a good shepherd? What does that look like? There are three parts of it, and you see it here within the psalm, that a good shepherd is one who is ahead of the flock, with the flock, and behind the flock at the same time. And so in the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me on right paths. He is ahead of the flock. I fear no evil. Why? For you are there at my side, right with me, to give me courage. And also, his goodness and kindness, they follow me all the days of my life. That the good shepherd, which we are called to look to, but also to be, in whatever area of life you are in, is one who is ahead, with, and behind. This is what a Christian leader looks like. And this is whether you're a priest, whether you're a parent, whether you have a business, whether it's just within the small group who you have influence with, your friends. It's what a Christian leader looks like. And so, for me as a pastor, the word which means shepherd, to be one who is ahead of the flock means it's one to have who has vision, who is leading the flock. That it's one who takes responsibility for the whole flock, and when something happens, they're the ones who take the bullets. That's why they're out in front. And also this vision that the good shepherd has and that the pastor must have is one which is laser focused. If you read biographies of the greatest leaders in history, they're ones who share this one common trait, is they have laser focus what their goal is. The goal of the good shepherd in Psalm 23, it closes, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The very first homily that I gave to you as your pastor, I told you what my goal is. It's what the goal of every pastor is. It's that you might come to really know Jesus and let him know you. My final goal is to get you to heaven. And every decision that a good shepherd, that a pastor makes, is formed by that end goal of getting you to heaven. No matter how little or how big the decision, it's shaped by that final goal. But a shepherd who is just ahead of the flock, the danger there is that he can be disconnected. He can be indifferent to the suffering of what's happening with the flock. And so a shepherd must be leading and ahead of the flock, but also with them as well. That they actually must know and take on truly that scent, that smell of the sheep, in order to have real compassion and know what it is that the people are dealing with in their lives, in their families, day to day, to have real compassion, to be able to suffer with and help you carry the burdens. A Christian leader is one who is a servant leader, as Jesus shows, among his people, serving them and leading in that way. But of course, a flock and a shepherd, one of the great dangers is that they become turned in on themselves. that everything becomes about their own needs. And so a shepherd must also help himself and his people to be one who leads from behind as well, to be looking out for those who are weak and injured, those who have strayed off. That we exist here as a church, yes, to come and to receive Christ, but we exist to evangelize. We exist for the sake of those who are not here, Sunday after Sunday. It's those who in their suffering have strayed off. And that it's this which Jesus speaks about when he talks about the 99 and the one. The good shepherd leads the 99 to go and search after the one. And that there's a particular place in the shepherd's heart for those who are struggling. To be a Christian leader, and you can apply this to your workplace. You can apply this to your role as a parent. For a parent, every decision you make in your home is shaped by the one final goal, getting my spouse and my kids to heaven. If it doesn't help that, what is it about? Everything is shaped and formed by that. That I'm also with my family. Yes, I'm leading and providing for my family, but I need to be with them so my children know me, and I especially know them. That you can provide for your family all you want, but the greatest gift that they need is your presence to be with them and to know what the struggles they have are, so you're able to parent them and parent them well. But then, as every parent knows, there's a particular place in their heart for any child who is sick or suffering. That a parent loves all their children equally. Despite what some kids may think, mom and dad don't have favorites. But there are, if a child is suffering and they're struggling, it's going to require more of your attention and care, more of your time. It has to, it must. Because that child is who needs the focus of your care in that moment. To lead well is to forget about oneself in that sense. It's to look and to say, how can I be better? And then to give one's life away in serving them. Leading, being with them, and also leading from behind. And in order to do this, anyone who strives to do this knows that they need prayer, which is why in our petitions we pray for those who lead our church, those who lead our nation, and we pray for families almost every single week. Because anyone who tries to lead in that way knows it's a heavy burden to carry. And when you try and do that, when you seek to do that with a sincere heart, you're going to recognize right away your own weaknesses. So prayer, and also continually looking, finally, to the Good Shepherd, to Jesus himself, to experience him shepherding you in that way, leading you in everything, leading every decision you make, being with you in the midst of it all, and especially close to you in your area of weakness and suffering. So we turn to the Good Shepherd and we ask for his grace, both to experience him as a shepherd and to be ourselves in our lives good shepherds for the flock who need them.